Good morning. Over the last couple of weeks, I found myself doing something that I really enjoy and haven't done for a while, and that is meet with families who are preparing their child for baptism. During the pandemic, we weren't able to gather, weren't able to celebrate baptism, and there are many who are awaiting baptism. And we are now beginning to schedule those baptisms. And what we've traditionally done is, before the COVID, we would invite those who were preparing for baptism, parents, to come for a gathering on a Wednesday night. And one of the clergy would kind of lead that session. And those new parents, oftentimes new parents, would get to meet other new parents in the family as well. And it was a beginning of some connections and relationships. Well, we're not able to do that. What we are doing, though, is doing one-on-one meetings in preparation. And I've been doing them through Zoom. Families, some have preferred to do them through Zoom. And so I've spent some time in the last week or so with folks doing something I really enjoy doing, and giving a sense of history of baptism and going through the service of baptism. The other day when I was doing one of those classes, I was preparing to share what I could share today on this gospel reading in particular. And one of the questions in the baptismal covenant kind of struck me and gave me a lens to kind of see this gospel reading. If you remember the baptismal covenant, we asked folks, do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And we respond with the Apostles' Creed. And then there are five questions. And the first question is the one that struck me. And the question is, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? What really strikes me in that question is, will you continue? Will you continue? It's a reminder to us that baptism obviously is not a graduation, the end of something, but baptism is an initiation. It's the beginning of a journey of life where we become followers of Jesus and the way. And so we're challenged to continue that journey, to continue. In some ways, I wonder if we're always living into that initiation as we go forward. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? How willing are we to open our hearts, open our lives to newness? Oftentimes when we think of learning something, we think, I've learned it, I'm locked in, I got it. But what this question is saying is, will you continue in the apostles' teaching, continue to be shaped and formed in this journey? It's a continual process. I want to share with you a story from when I was a little child, and an understanding I had as a little six-year-old, and how that understanding has changed in my journey. I was 6 years old in 1959, and in the tradition that I grew up in, you would receive communion when you were in first grade. It was called First Holy Communion. And as a first grader, you were prepared for First Communion by our teacher, and that was Sister Amadeus. I'll never forget her name, Sister Amadeus. And she formed and shaped us, and I will never forget that formation, that time in my life. It's at that time I grew to have such I'll be honest with you, an awe and wonder about the Eucharist. Still do. When I gather and stand at this altar, at this table, and we celebrate the Eucharist together, I am in awe and wonder at what it is we're doing, that this Jesus becomes present to us in this bread and in this wine, and in each other and in us gathered as a community, as well as through word proclaimed. So when I was in first grade, part of the preparation was that when you receive communion, you only receive the host, the bread, and it was placed on your tongue. We weren't at that point receiving in our hands. And I remember being taught, now when you receive communion, you know, it's like your tongue is a throne, and don't let it touch the roof of your mouth. Don't chew on the host. Receive it in a very reverent way. So when I made my first communion, I remember vividly the mass that we had. There were 72 of us in our first grade class. God bless Sister Amadeus, who was probably in her mid-20s then, teaching 72 in a classroom. But I remember that service, and I remember receiving communion. And then after the service, we were invited down to the parish hall, which is underneath the church, where families could come and gather, almost like a big coffee hour. But as we came into the hall, there was a table set up with little glasses of water, and Sister Amadeus was there saying to each of us, go take a little glass of water, drink it, just to wash everything down. So I remember going up to that table, and she said, you know, George, here's your water, you know, drink it. And I said, mm-hmm. I was trying to say, I can't. But I was going, mm-hmm. She says, what's the matter? She says, have you swallowed the host yet? And I went, I was so just, and she said, so George, Merlino, you can swallow it now and then drink some water. And I'll never forget that. Don't chew. Don't let it touch the roof of your mouth. Child understanding. Certainly let go of that. But the awe and the wonder still remains. So I take that experience of our life, which may seem kind of just a unique experience. You may have different experiences in your lives from when you were a child that you can reflect on, and how we've moved from there to a place in our life now. That is continuing in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. That is moving in our depth and understanding as we are formed and shaped and mature and grow. And the gospel reading today really challenges us and invites us to an even deeper understanding, I think, of Eucharist. It's one of the things it calls us to. All of chapter 6 of John's gospel is on the bread of life. If you've been paying attention each Sunday, it's the bread of life, the bread of life, the bread of life, the bread of life. This Sunday, though, many scripture scholars suggest that verses 51 to 58 are really, in some ways, talking about the Eucharist and the early church's experience of Eucharist. And Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Eat this bread. Drink from this cup. I am the bread of life. Eat this. What's interesting is, if you go and look at the Greek translation, the word in Greek that's used for eat is a Greek word, I'm not sure I pronounce it correctly. It's been a long time since I've been studying Greek, but I think it's trogain. And the word means to gnaw at, to chew, to kind of grind in your mouth. Almost like it was a word that was used much more commonly of the way animals would eat, but eventually it came into the Greek tradition to use it for humans as well, to mean eat, but a real sense of chewing and gnawing. If you ever heard a horse eat, a horse takes in the hay and you can hear the chewing and the grinding. And what Jesus is really saying to us is, chew on this, gnaw on this, eat this, savor it, taste it, let it nourish you and feed you. And of course, you know, at another level, we're not just talking about the bread, but we're talking about the journey that we walk, that this Jesus, who is the source for us of meaning, of learning, of formation in our lives, and we can never think that I got it. But rather what Jesus is saying is, chew on this, gnaw on this, every time you gather together, and continue in that journey, continue in that understanding and meaning. I am the bread of life. Move forward, grow continually, learn from the experiences of life that we have. I think we live in a time right now where that's very difficult to do. My experience is many people are entrenched where they are. And it's become so difficult for us to hear each other. It's become difficult for us to chew together. It's been difficult for us to really gather and take in, not just, when I'm using this image, I don't want to just talk about food, but to talk about sharing our experiences, sharing our perspectives, sharing our, I use the phrase sometimes, lenses through which we see things and hear each other and learn from each other. It's what Jesus is inviting us to do, to chew, to eat. Jesus did not come and give a teaching and say, here's my teaching, take this, defend it, argue it, debate it. What Jesus said to us was, eat this. Eat this. Chew on it. Munch it. Savor it. Taste it. And to do it in fellowship, to do it together in sharing that life. So may this bread of life, this sense of the Eucharist, be a sign to us, not just of Jesus' presence through our gathering here and in the bread and the wine, but present in our lives. That in our fellowship together, in our sense of community, in our gathering as a parish community, Jesus is present to us. So chew on that. And see if you too can move from continuing in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. It's a long way from what Sister Amadeus taught me. But this Sister Amadeus is now in her late 80s. And is one of these leaders in social justice, in ministry up in New York City. Just an incredible woman who back in 1959 was probably a young 20-something-year-old, but now is taken on a life that's just incredible. She has continued in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. And we're all called to do that in our lives. So let us go forth today fed by the bread of life, challenged by the bread of life, to be fed and nourished, and make a difference in this world.